Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, we gotta go prepare. You know, we gotta go prepare. Obviously, played these guys earlier in the season. They gave us all we could handle, so it's gonna be a big challenge for us. We're gonna be at their place. It's a tough place to play. We're gonna have to go handle our business and play a really solid football game and playoff football for the most part, man. You play two good teams, go at it, and a lot of times it comes down to something late, and hopefully we can be on the right side of things.
The voice of Matthew Stafford after the Rams take apart the Vikings last night. Welcome back to Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, back to your phone calls here on Jalen Hurts. Are you giving him a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday against the Packers? But Hugh, it is set, the matchup Eagles-Rams, 3 o'clock Sunday at the Link, a rematch of a game that we saw in Los Angeles in late November. Hugh, when you realized last night, it was pretty quick early in the game, you realized the Rams were going to win that thing. What's your first thought on this game?
Ooh, the second matchup of teams that we played in the second round. I was like, You know that, and then I started thinking about how would you attack this? And how I felt about that. A little nervous, but at the same time, I started like workshopping it and thinking, I don't think they have enough to beat the Eagles. They don't. But they're going to make the game interesting because now they know how the Eagles are going to attack them. Up front, on their defensive side of the ball, they're kind of small. And the Eagles took full advantage of that. And, you know, we had a chance to talk to Jordan Mailata, and he talked about, you know, that matchup that he had against it with Jared Verse.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny? I thought about that because Jared Verse is going to be trying to get some get back. That was one of the teams that I didn't think was going to be in the playoffs. But Jared Verse might be looking at that film and saying, yeah, he get another shot at Jordan because Jordan kind of little boyed him the last time. So that's to me, is going to be a matchup that I'm going to watch. Cooper Kupp really wasn't a big factor in the game last night. Who was it? Tyler Higbee was the leading receiver that on the team last night.
He got hurt.
Yeah. Okay.
He left the game.
The leading receiver. Puka Nacua is still there. So they're going to try to hope if he's not playing, that kind of changes the dynamic of the game. But the thing that stood out to me is that Matt Stafford's probably going to come in here and try to do what he did to Minnesota, and that's distribute the ball. Like they had like – he gave the ball. At least one guy caught the ball at least one to like five or six different receivers. So that's what kind of struck me. But at the end of the day, you got a week, you got a day less of rest. It's going to be cold. You're not at home. I can't see the Rams coming in here beating the Eagles. I can see them coming in here putting up a really good fight. But man, game's at 3 o'clock. When that temperature change kick in, yeah, it's gonna be different.
So my first thought was, and I do feel the Eagles should win this game. It's going to be harder than the Packers game. I know the resume is going to tell you it shouldn't, that the Rams are worse than the Packers in terms of their record, in terms of their point differential. I think this is going to be harder. I respect McVay. And I don't think Stafford's going to fall apart the way Love did. So I think this is going to be harder for the Eagles. Now, I also can't get out of my head that the last time we saw this matchup, the Eagles destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
I mean, that was the Saquon game that put him on the MVP map. I mean, he went out there and had, I mean, he ran for 200-something yards. He was amazing in that football game, 300 total yards in terms of catching the ball, too. I thought Jalen played well that night, too, out in Los Angeles. So we saw this matchup once, and the Eagles beat them. I think I've said this on this show. I can't get a grasp on the Rams. They have a weird season. They started 1-4, then they got hot, then they fell apart a little bit, then they got hot again. Hugh, the Rams have weeks where they look really, really good, like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They also have weeks where they don't score much. They won a few games in December. They scored like 12, 13 points. They had a negative point differential for the season. I struggle to figure out week to week what they are. Here's what I think about the Rams. If the Eagles let them hang around, they scare the heck out of me because of Stafford and McVay.
Yeah.
But there's also a path here for the Eagles if they play good football and they protect the ball and Jalen makes some plays and they get their offensive line going downhill, they could run them out of the building the way they did to them out in Los Angeles. My first thought, though, it's going to be more challenging. Like than last week. I think it's going to be a closer game and a more nail-biting game than we had. I felt good on Friday. I thought the Eagles would blow the Packers out. I don't have that same sense on this Tuesday that we have another blowout coming. Kyle, first thought as the Rams come in.
I don't know if I necessarily agree that I know for sure it's going to be harder than Green Bay. The Rams don't have nearly as good of a defense as the Packers. I think the Packers came in with, like, what, the fifth overall defense?
But doesn't
in the NFL?
It feel like the Packers were limping a little bit? The Rams looked good last night.
They were, but they played good defense in that game.
Oh, yeah,
they
Packers
played
did.
Very
yep.
well defensively, yep. and they had a good game plan for Jalen Hurts. I don't know if the Rams have the horses, like, back there to be able to do that. And I don't expect them to do anywhere close to what they did to the Vikings O-line against ours. Usually, if you tell me that, you know, one of the biggest threats on an opposing defense is one of their edge rushers, I don't worry about that. I don't sweat that. We have Mailata and Lane Johnson, two of the best tackles in football. And, I mean, while their offense looked good last night, again, that was more of an anomaly than the norm for the Rams. It was the third time all season that they put up 30 points. And I don't see that happening against the Eagles defense. And I mean, you know, if the betting odds tell you anything, the Packers were -3.5. The Rams are like going to be -6, -6.5. So
it was 5.5 this morning. It's probably going to land in
so
six.
So oddsmakers think that this is an easier task for the Eagles than the Packers.
I disagree with
was.
The oddsmakers.
Right, oh, is he going to do the official Joe Giglio spread before the game?
Oh, yeah, it's 3.5. That's my
really?
Number. Yeah, I think this is close.
I don't know about that.
All right, let's hear from Brandon Graham. So it's interesting. BG talking here about, you know, obviously knowing now it's going to be the Rams, but listen to Brandon Graham's thought on Vikings, Rams, maybe who the Eagles would have preferred in this matchup.
Did you have a preference last night between the Rams and the Vikings?
You know what? It's hard to play a team twice. The Vikings for sure was a team that you probably wanted to play too, but you know, it didn't matter for real. It mm-hmm. really didn't matter because I know the energy of the game that's going to be on Sunday, man, it's going to be electric for both teams. We just got to make sure we capture that momentum.
Hugh, you spoke on that before we knew, yesterday you said it, right before the game even happened, that the difficulty of playing a team a second time, why is it so hard?
Because it's the game plan that you use to defeat them. You kind of want to have that similar game plan, but they already kind of know how you're going to attack them. You know, so like I said, I think that the Rams are going to come in. They're going to be more creative against trying to stop the run. But I think the thing that's going to hurt them is that I don't think that they have the personnel, the right personnel up front, that they can sustain that for four quarters.
Right.
You know, and then you're coming into a hostile environment. The weather change is going to be a factor. The thing that I think is going to be in our favor, this might be close in the first half. I would say this might be a little bit of a nail biter until halftime. Then when the sun goes down a little bit and the reality kicks in of how cold it is, you know, you got them cold ass shoulder pads on. They're warm in the first half because you're all lathered up and you're excited. The adrenaline's going. You go in at halftime, you make them adjustments and you walk out. And if it's raining or it's cold, that cold air smacks that ass couple times.
That's different than showing your whole ass.
It's different. Yeah, man.
Who's going to show their ass on Sunday? Saquon?
I think.
Jalen?
I feel, just at first blush, early in the week, this offensive line was dominant. That's something that you can't, that's a given. Regardless of scheme, anything, that's just a man whoop a man. I think that it might be close in the first half, but as we progress through the game, I think the Eagles are going to pop. I think Saquon has a big day Sunday.
So that was the first game.
Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday?
Sunday.
Okay. 3. Still a short week for the Rams, though.
It is. Yeah. Well, so one thing. So the first game was what, 10-10 and a half or 14-10? Yeah, it was close.
Yeah.
And then,
we ended up pulling away big time.
And I think people need to realize in the playoffs, for the most part, they're not going to always be. It's not going to be decided before the half.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs.
But saying, it's not like you're playing a bad team in the regular season.
You know what I mean? It's the playoffs. It's not going to be decided before the half.
And by the way, sorry, I said that that was the third time the Rams scored 30 points. They didn't even score 30 points against the Vikings. It just felt that way because they kicked their – they only scored 30 points twice this whole year.
Yeah, I mean, their resume isn't very good.
It's not.
I mean, but and historically, teams that have a negative point differential don't make it this far and certainly don't get past this round. I mean, this – on paper – like, remember last week on paper, the Packers looked scary, and then they actually weren't that scary. This Ram team doesn't look that scary on paper, yet I think there's something to them that makes this a challenging game. On Friday, I think we have to put up the poll, who's going to show their whole ass on Sunday, and just see what people say on that.
Just an open-ended?
Open-ended, yep. Who's going to show their whole ass on Sunday in this game.
Is it possible that last night was less of good Rams and more of just, like, dead team walking
Vikings? It might have been. Well, I mean, that was the Vikings. Yes, they just played the Lions the week before.
I think the Lions might have taken their soul.
Yeah, maybe. Well, all right, so here's one other aspect of this, and before we talk about it, I want to be empathetic. You obviously there's bigger things going on than football for the players in Los Angeles, but Hugh, I wonder how much last night they had adrenaline for the city of Los Angeles, for the surrounding area, what's going on.
Yeah.
Because the whole pregame stuff was about they were honoring the people and obviously all the devastation in Southern California. It felt to me like they had like a little extra pep in their step, the Rams, to do it for the Southern California. I do wonder, can they carry that adrenaline over? Or now they, because it's weird, they showed the graphic on the game last night. They left Los Angeles on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They flew to, including their families, they brought everyone to Arizona to kind of set up shop there for a few days, played a game. Now I guess they're going to go back home and try to prepare and then get back on another flight. It's a tough thing for them. It's like a lot going on.
Are they going back home? Is that being confirmed?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, maybe they stay in Arizona the whole week.
They probably will, because I would probably think, if I'm Coach McVay, to go back home. I don't know where they all live, but I'm pretty sure somebody has been directly affected by what's going on out there. That's a lot to try to compartmentalize and get ready to play a game. So I would assume that you probably stay as close to the East Coast as you possibly can instead of flying back and then. Think about that trip. Like, you're jumping on a plane. You're loading everybody up, families and all, jumping on a plane, flying back to L.A. to stay for a couple of days and then have to jump back on another plane instead of just probably staying there making it, you know, taking your mind off of what's potentially going on in your neighborhood and turn it into a mini vacation. I'm pretty sure there's some small kids running around. Try to make it as less stressful as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So I would assume you would probably stay in Arizona for a couple of days and then fly out this way.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, like, we'll see if they are, you know, because it's...
A 5-hour flight? Five?
To get here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you never know. Arizona. Sometimes teams...
No, from L.A.
to here.
Yeah, it's six.
Something like that.
Sometimes teams kind of like, they use this and it's a motivating factor to go through a run. But sometimes it's like a one-week thing, and then it's just like the real-life stuff comes back. Plus, it's a short week, as Kyle mentioned, for them. They got to get up to play a game on Sunday.
The like emotional adrenaline bump. Sometimes you get that when they'll fire the coach, and the interim guy comes in, and they're like, hey, we're going to play hard for this guy 1 week, and they do, and they surprise somebody. And then the next week, it's like, yeah, that's what they really look like.
215-592-9494. Back to your phone calls here on Jalen. Are you giving him a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday? Mike in Norristown. Hey, Mike. Mike.
Hey. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy? Mike?
Before we get into it real quick, unfortunately. Yo, I'm here. You there?
Okay, we got you. We got you. Go ahead.
Hello?
You got you, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get into it, a friend of mine passed a beef and beer on Friday. He was in law enforcement. He was vice president of the Boys Club. His name is Arthur Shana. Unfortunately, he left behind a wife and two kids, and there was going to be a beef and beer for him. This Friday, on January 17th from 7 to 11 at the FOP Lodge 5 Heroes Ballroom. It's $40 a ticket, great benefits, going to be a great time for a good cause. If anybody can come out, I greatly appreciate it.
All right, Mike, well, I'm glad you could point it out, and our hearts go out to the family with the loss there. Very sad to hear that, Mike. Mike, what's on your mind today?
All right, thank you. Here's what's on my mind. You... you are my top three Eagle, my man. It goes Randall Cunningham, Reggie White, Hugh Douglas. Back in 2000, I was rocking the hard green Hugh Douglas jersey. You're my guy, man.
Appreciate
that's
you.
That's a
Thank
pretty
you.
Big list to be on there, Hugh. That's some legends and Hugh Douglas on there. I like that, Mike. Or what are you thinking on this game here and the way Jalen
right,
played?
Now, I mean, people need to chill out. All right, people need to chill out. This was like a preseason game. They were not full throttle. Our defense.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Was killing it. Hurts was off for a month. We're going to see what happens next this Sunday. You know what's going to happen? 35-13 birds over the Rams.
That's ooh, 35-13. So defense is going to bother. So Jalen going to play well, or is this going to be Saquon running all over the place?
Phenomenal.
All right.
Phenomenal.
Like
two
that.
Touchdowns to AJ, one to Devontae.
All right, I'm writing
yards.
This down for our parlay on Friday. All right, so Mike's got a 35-13, no doubt about it. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. So the AJ thing just came up again there. I can't wait to see the injury report this week. And how is he practicing? I feel like it's the most under-talked about thing coming out of the game. A.J. Brown had one catch for 10 yards, and he was – I didn't even think he was open most of the time. Like, sometimes you see it, and you're like, Jalen should have threw it to him. Come on, come on, get the – when I watched A.J. run on Sunday, it felt to me like a guy that was going 60% speed. Now, maybe it's that's all he had on Sunday, and maybe he'll be better this week. I have no idea. What I do know is this. On the pregame show on Sunday, Ruben Frank said to us he thinks A.J. Brown could be headed for offseason knee surgery. That tells me this isn't a one-week tweak. He's dealing with something that they have to figure out how to work around here.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably, I don't want to speculate too much, but going in and cleaning something up because he's still playing, so I don't think it's that bad. Maybe I have to clean his knee up. Maybe it's, when you talk about how he ran, maybe it was more discomfort than anything. And, you know, if it's something like that, say for instance, if it's a torn meniscus, and he has a little bit of a flap in there, and it's moving around. That could hinder you from going full speed. And it's weird because I've had one of these where one day you feel great, and then if that piece of cartilage or whatever it is gets to moving around, that's when it kind of messes with your knee a little bit. So it just all depends, man. And he's probably in a position, a situation where they said it'd probably take a couple weeks, you know, clean it out, and you'll be fine, but he doesn't want to take that time off. It's probably just a timing thing for him right now.
Yeah, and look, I thought at some point the Packers realized he wasn't as big of a threat as he normally is, and it made the whole passing concept just different. Like, they didn't have to throw as many resources to stopping him because they realized, hey, he's not running. Even the play that Hurts missed, the fake tush push, I mean, Hurts missed him, but I also didn't think AJ was running like he normally does. It was almost like, I wonder if part of that was Jalen wasn't sure how much air to put under it because he wasn't sure what kind of speed AJ even had because they didn't practice together and he knew he wasn't running well. Lawrence in Philadelphia. What's up, Lawrence?
Hello.
Lawrence. What's up, buddy?
Hello.
Oh, man, I'm good. How y'all doing, man? Thanks for taking my call, man. Hugh, I agree with you, man. But what I have to say is this, man. The road to the Super Bowl will be through Philadelphia. Since the Commanders is playing with house money, they're going to go in there and smoke them boys.
Smoke the Lions in Detroit?
Yeah, they're going to win by probably 1 point, something like that.
Okay. I doubt it, Lawrence, but I wouldn't be surprised if they compete. They're a good team, and Daniels is a good quarterback.
Exactly, yeah, but the thing about Washington is they playing with that house money. They have nothing to lose. Detroit have everything to lose. And it's a dome, too, and that boy going to go in there and Daniels show his, you know, what he made of, man. You know, and I don't have a lot to say. I'm a long-time WIP caller, over 30 years in my 60s. And that's all I have to say. Oh, I have one more thing to say, man, about Chuck from Mount Airy, man.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to stop disrespecting Seth Joyner like that.
You think that he disrespected Seth?
Yes, I really do, man. You know, he has, you know, Chuck need to...
Wait a minute,
you know,
what I miss? I miss something?
Show some humility, man. Some humbleness, man. You know, that's an icon for Philadelphia, man. He played under Buddy Ryan, man.
There's no doubt in that. I mean, he did play under Buddy Ryan.
Did I miss something?
Well, I'll find it and play it for
you. We're going to play it here. Lawrence, good phone call, buddy. We appreciate it. This is now, and before we get to the Seth versus Chuck from Mount Airy thing yesterday, Hugh, look, I from the beginning of this season into the summer, I thought the Commanders were about to take a jump, so I'm not going to count them out. But this is our second call we've got in 2 days that are predicting the Commanders are going into Detroit and winning, which would set up the Eagles to have a home title game. I would love for it to happen. That's a big challenge for them to go on the road after winning last week and beat a team that's coming off a bye. Like, I think they could compete, but I'm not counting on the Commanders to win this game. Maybe. Not. I'm not counting on it, though.
You know what? I was looking at the betting odds. I think they're like, was it plus eight or negative? I forget.
Underdogs. Yeah, so Lions are expected to win by 9 or more.
I kind of like the Commodores
to win or to cover.
To win.
Ooh.
I mean, you know what? You know why I say that?
That means we're getting a home title game, Hugh Douglas.
You know why I say that? It's because the pressure has shifted. I think because when you look at who the Detroit Lions have played all year long, they have done a phenomenal job. Aaron Glenn has done a phenomenal job of piecemealing this defense together. And them playing hard for them to be in the position at the end. He's an X factor, though. Jaden Daniels, they haven't seen anybody like that this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Hurts is probably the closest thing.
But Kurtz ain't even that close.
Oh, they did play Lamar.
Okay.
The Commanders. No, you're talking about the Lions.
The Lions, yes. I'm looking at
the
schedule.
They played Josh Allen.
Oh, they played Josh Allen. Okay.
Wait a minute. But that
Josh Allen lit him up like a Christmas tree, too.
Yeah, but Josh ain't this young man. And what I say about that is, like,
in terms of running?
Yeah. He could put stress on the defense. Yeah, I'm looking at this schedule, man.
I don't think they have seen a mobile guy.
They haven't seen this type of quarterback.
Well, there's not many. I mean, Lamar's probably him.
Yeah.
Lamar's similar. So, Hugh, if you're right on this, how about this? You've taken the mantle now as the Commanders guy on this show. I had it. Now it's you. You're picking up to win in Detroit.
Crazier things have happened. And for all that sitting down, like, they're feeling... The Commodores are feeling real good about themselves.
They are
right
playing
now.
With house money.
Magic Johnson out there talking about how you build a franchise and all the other good stuff, and he's with your boy that owns the Sixers.
He's not my boy. There.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Josh making money hand over fist. I think they have a chance. They got a chance, man. They're going to make it very, very interesting going into that hostile environment and playing the Detroit Lions.
Well, if they do it, if they could pull off, and it'd be a big upset. I mean, 8.5 points, a big number. If they pull that off, we could be set up for a home title game, which would be incredible. 215-592-9494. Or can we hear the Chuck in Mount Airy against Seth thing?
I'm still ripping it. We might have to toss it to the other side. Yeah.
We'll have it coming up here.
I got you, though.
Okay, so we got to play this for Hugh. Yesterday, it was quite a bout. Chuck in Mount Airy against Seth Joyner.
That's really round two.
It is.
That's not the first time that...
Yeah, it's becoming one of my favorite rivalries around here. Let's grab Terrence, and on the other side, we'll have the Chuck and Seth call from yesterday. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm not the biggest Jalen guy. Like, I like Jalen Hurts. I feel like I'm still waiting for him to reach his 2022 potential. But if I had Tatum or Key one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Like, I don't know what Shady – I like Shady – he's a great player, but what you smoking, man? This is playoff. It's not the regular season. You're not playing the Giants. I want to hear about Taylor McKee no more. And I know today this is going to be the topic of the conversation about Jalen Hurts, but when is A.J. Brown going to get a mulligan? When is Kellen Moore going to get a mulligan? Because I watched the tape. I watched Dan Orlovsky, and I went back and watched the game. There was about 6 plays that Dan Orlovsky played where from the start of the play to the end of the play, our receivers were a blanket. I'm talking about the slot receivers. I'm talking about the 2 guys on the outside, the tight end. They were a blanket from the beginning to the end of the play. So I know earlier you said somebody brought it open in the beginning. There wasn't. And I know a lot of times when we're watching the game, you can't see these things. And I know everybody's all on Hurts. I know Chuck on everybody want to stay in the character and be on Jalen Hurts. But I was a big Jalen Hurts fan. But yesterday, Sunday night, They could have gave Jalen Hurts a better, you know, they could have helped him out more. And this is not the first time I heard this about our route concepts, because they're saying that Jamar Chase and Dr. Jefferson have better route concepts than A.J. Brown. They're saying A.J. Brown has vanilla route concepts that teams are starting to figure out our route concepts. And if that's up to Kellen Moore, it's up to A.J. Brown to figure this out, too, to help Jalen Hurts out. Now, early in the year, Joe, you're right. Jalen Hurts was having these average games, but come back from concussion, I feel like they could have helped this guy out more. He did what he could do in the game to win the game. He didn't turn the ball over. He did what he was able to do. A.J. Brown turned like an old man. And I know you said, Joe, that Jalen Hurts is the X factor. I feel like A.J. Brown come down the stretch. He's going to be a big X factor on his knee, on how he can perform, and how these guys can run better routes, because that 1990s as offense that Kellen Moore is running right now, with no kind of flow, no kind of scheme to get nobody open, is not going to cut it. And we're going to get our ass bounced by the Rams if we don't get our route concept better.
Well, yeah, they were too predictable. I mean, it's not like
that. Jalen does have to play better. Sorry, though, but Jalen does have to play better than what he did. I want to see him play better next week coming off a concussion, but I feel like that was kind of a knock the rest off game for Jalen Hurts. But he does. The offense has to get together in the room, because that was half-assed performance on offense. You're not going to beat the Rams doing that. You're not going to beat the Lions or Washington.
Yeah, They have to be better. I mean, they do. Terrence, we appreciate it. All right, coming up, 215-592-949 for all your phone calls on this. Nick Sirianni's conversation with The Morning Show, and we'll get you that audio of Chuck Versetti yesterday, one of the great new rivalries at WIP. All coming up next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.